Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, once again, this being the second Sunday of May, it's Mother's Day, that day when we pay tribute to our mothers and in many cases to others who have been like adopted mothers for us. I'm assuming, and I hope I'm right on this one, that a few of our people who are gone today are gone because they are with their families in other places. That's an assumption. Now, though Mother's Day is not a religious holiday per se, I think it's still a good thing that it is acknowledged in a church service. Now, you probably know that some churches go at it in a big way. You know, recognizing the oldest mother, and if it's not a matter of scandal, the youngest or most recent mother. I've heard of congregations applauding this day for the mother with the most children. Well, I'm not going to include that in our service this morning, but I do want to suggest to you that if you have a mother alive or someone who has played the mother role in your life, that you try to reach that person today and express your gratitude. And if your mother is deceased, to spend a minute or two today reflecting on the role that she played in your life and in the life of others. I want to begin this morning with a little history, just in case you need a refresher course on how the celebration of Mother's Day first began in this country. It was in May 1907. A woman named Ann Jarvis of Grafton, Virginia, whose mother had died 2 years earlier, had begun writing for family and friends a series of recollections about her mother, remembering in particular her mother's evangelical piety, her habit of daily prayer, her years of teaching Sunday school at the Methodist Church in Grafton, and particularly her love of hymns. And during the first 2 years after her mother's death, Miss Jarvis would offer memorial gifts in her mother's name to that Sunday school. In May of 1907, however, she went further. She organized a special worship service in commemoration of her mother's long involvement in the church. And the next year, her vision expanded considerably. She never wanted to memorialize her own mother by, or she wanted now to memorialize her own mother by honoring all mothers with their own special day here on the second Sunday in May. Now, my reading has not led me to know exactly why Miss Jarvis, a church organist and a Sunday school teacher herself, and a graduate of Augustana Female Seminary, was motivated to expand this observance, but it may be at the influence of Julia Ward Howe, who you may remember is the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and who since back in 1870 had been promoting what she called Mother's Peace Day, and it had in fact issued a proclamation in the year 1870. I'm going to read part of it. You will note it has no resemblance to the sending of flowers and candy to mothers. Listen to these powerful words of the proclamation. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of this country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure others. Then the proclamation continues. Let women leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. How do you like that as a proclamation for Mother's Day? Wouldn't it be wonderful if on some distant Mother's Day, the wishes of Julia Ward Howe could be fulfilled, and the human race could celebrate a day when all over the world, no mother would have to mourn the death of a child in war or in terrorist attacks. Well, Julia Ward Howe never achieved her desire to get formal recognition for Mother's Day for Peace. But it was observed, beginning with Mrs. Howe's proclamation of 1870, for the next 30 years, and it was observed on the 2nd of June each year. But let me return to Anna Jarvis and her desire to memorialize her mother, who carried the same name. When Julia Ward Howe sought to establish a Mother's Day for Peace, her idea was greatly influenced by the first Anna Jarvis, who at that time was a young Appalachian homemaker, who attempted back in 1858 to improve sanitation through what she called mother's work days. She organized women throughout the Civil War for better sanitary conditions for both sides. And in 1869, she began work to reconcile Union and Confederate neighbors. She pried women from their families to care for the wounded on both sides in that war. And afterwards, she convened meetings to persuade men to lay aside their hostilities. Now, her daughter Anna would, of course, have known of her mother's work and the work of Julia Ward Howe. And I am sure the younger Anna Jarvis, in wanting to memorialize her mother, it was to honor this woman who was not only a very good mother to her daughter, but was at one and the same time a good churchwoman and a woman of social action. And to recognize that mothers play not only a role in the home and in the church, but in the larger society, particularly seeking to make society more humane. I believe it's important when Mother's Day today has become so commercialized, a wonderful day for florists and restaurants to remember that in the earlier day, Mother's Day was a commemoration of women's public activism. Now, my late father would have had some trouble with this because he was a florist, and this was his best day of the year. Ruth Rosen, professor emeritus of history at the University of California at Davis, in a piece that was published on May 16th, 2006, titled Mother's Day for Peace, recounts the work of the first Anna Jarvis and the work of Julia Ward Howe and writes, honor mother with rallies in the streets. The holiday began in activism. It needs rescuing from commercialism and platitudes. She continues, Many middle-class women of the 19th century believed that they bore a special responsibility as actual or potential mothers to care for the casualties of society and to turn America into a more civilized nation. They played a leading role in the abolitionist movement to end slavery. And in the succeeding decades, they launched successful campaigns against lynching, against consumer fraud, and battled for improved working conditions for women and protection for children, and public health services and social welfare assistance to the poor. To the activists, the connection between motherhood and the fight for social and economic justice seemed to be self-evident. In 1913, Congress declared the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day, and even early on it became so many of our other recognized holidays an incentive and an opportunity to simply commercialize it. As Florist's Review, which is the flower industry's trade journal, bluntly put it, this was a holiday that could be exploited. Outraged by florists who were selling carnations, the flower of choice, which Anna Jarvis had suggested to honor mothers, selling them at the price of $1 a piece, an exorbitant price for that time, Miss Jarvis undertook a campaign against those who, quote, would undermine Mother's Day with their greed. You see, the younger Anna Jarvis was also an activist, just as was her mother. Well, she lost that battle, and within a few years, the Florist Review triumphantly announced that it was, and I'm quote, Miss Jarvis who was completely squelched, end of quote. Now, Professor Rosen, very much a social and a political activist in her own right, has written, with a little imagination, we could restore Mother's Day as a holiday that celebrates women's political engagement in society. During the 1990s, some peace groups gathered at nuclear test sites on Mother's Day to protest the arms race. And today, writes Professor Rosen, our greatest threat is not from missiles, but from our indifference toward human welfare and the health of our planet. Imagine a Mother's Day filled with voices demanding social and economic justice and a sustainable future. Now, some will think it insulting to alter our current way of celebrating Mother's Day. But public activism does not preclude private expressions of love and gratitude. In the gospel lesson for this morning from the 15th chapter of John, Jesus expresses his concern that when he is no longer with them in the flesh, that they might continue to abide in his love even as he abides in God's love, and to do so by keeping his commandments. And then he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's no longer strangers, but friends. I appoint you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, it's said that there's no love such as mother's love, and I believe that's quite true. And I would add that mother's love extends beyond that of her immediate family. I think throughout history that's been true. In the life of Mrs. Anna Jarvis, so admired by her daughter, and in the life of Mrs. Julia Ward Howe, that motherly love extended way beyond the confines of their own homes, way beyond the confines of their immediate friends in their church circles, and in their local communities. It was a motherly love that reached out to the world's children, particularly those who lack the benefits that we find to be so commonplace. Reached out to the young men and women worldwide who bore the scars of war and violence. A love that was turned into action. Love that led them to take to the streets in protest. Love that led them to work for social and economic justice. Led them to work for that sustainable future. What a legacy left to their children and to all of us. And so on this Mother's Day, I would have us salute all mothers whose work is not only in their homes, but as activists of so many sorts, and in many ways, in the highways and the byways of life. Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, we are so thankful for motherly love, which begins hopefully in the home, but spreads beyond. And so we salute the mothers who have not only been good mothers in their homes and have served in the church and in community groups, we are thankful for those who have taken an activist stand to make this a more humane society. Amen.